I wonder if Rich Tao, let me just think about this. I'm amazed at how many guys, because it was a guy thing, you know, back in the day. I'm amazed at how many guys like, yeah, I did magic too. Rich Tao, did you do magic back in the day?
I could barely flip a coin in the air.
Seriously, so you didn't get caught up in the, how old are you, Rich?
56.
Okay, well, we're of the same era, and when that swept through the country in the mid-70s, you never got caught up in it? You know, Doug Henning, The Magic Show, malls, all had magic stores in them?
My parents took me to see The Magic Show. That's about as far as it went.
Oh, did you? See, I never got to go see it. I'm envious. I mean, that's what really sparked the craze. And then Bill, what the hell was this? Bill Bixby? Had a show, The Magician. TC's looking at me like I'm speaking a foreign language. All right, Rich. Well, you got nothing to offer me on magic. That's obvious. Instead, let us talk about your focus groups. So you're still at it. For the benefit of those who have never heard you here before or haven't read about you in Axios, tell everybody what you do.
So my firm conducts focus groups. We do these now online via Zoom, and we're in the midst of our 2021 swing voter project, where each month we're focus grouping Trump to Biden voters, people who voted Trump in 16, Biden in 20.
And these are swing voters, correct me if I'm wrong, in swing areas.
Yeah. So this month, for example, we had respondents from Florida, Arizona, Minnesota, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Georgia, and Texas.
You find that anybody regrets it? Meaning having moved from Trump in 16 to Biden in 20?
Well, the big news today, Michael, is that every month I've been asking them as a standard question, what emotion do you feel when you see Biden on TV or on your device? And throughout most of this year, fairly consistently, virtually every respondent has said something like, well, I feel relief, I feel calm, I feel hopeful. I'm still getting that. But this month, we did the groups a week ago on August 10th, I'm getting a lot fewer people saying that. And the other thing I'm getting for the first time is more than one person saying to me that they regret voting for Joe Biden. I had two people out of 13 who said that they actually regretted to the point where if they had to run against each other again tomorrow, they would take Trump back.
I mean, I hear you, and I'll be interested to hear from telephone callers after our chat is concluded and just take people's pulse generally on the Biden administration now, you know, more than 6 months in. But I guess the honeymoon does run out at about now, right?
It does. So what I'm hearing in terms of the commentary, and it's subtle, this is sort of the beauty of doing this every month, is that the comments early on were basically in reaction to Trump, which is, oh, he's better than Trump. He makes me feel calmer. I'm reassured when I see him. And sort of the shell shock of the Trump presidency is receding. So now Biden is being viewed on his own terms.
Interesting.
So one of the things I'm picking up on is that when the people who were really, who basically have abandoned him at this point, were the ones for whom Biden was the lesser of two evils. And they wanted somebody, for example, like I'll tell you about the two people who flipped away from him. There's a woman named Shannon, for example. She's from McMurray, Pennsylvania, out in Washington County. She's 45. She's an independent. Basically, what she said to me was she voted for Biden because Trump wasn't taking COVID seriously. But she says, now Biden's not doing anything. He's not assertive. Trump got more done. And then I had a gentleman named Todd from Eagan, Minnesota, in suburban Minneapolis in Dakota County, 59 years old, also an independent. He basically soured on Biden from the first week when he saw what was happening with energy independence and the pipeline being shut down. He's very frustrated with Biden's positions on immigration. And the reason why he gave up on Trump was that Trump had couldn't keep his mouth shut, he said. And he didn't like Trump's tweeting. But basically, that's receded into the distance. He now describes Biden as a puppet being controlled by Pelosi and Obama. And then one really fascinating thing he said to me, Michael, which is that Biden has sort of this verbal tick that I've noticed, and perhaps you've noticed as well, where he says, I shouldn't be talking about this. Basically,
yes.
Suggesting, you know, maybe I'm just wandering
yes.
a little bit off of
yes.
the reservation
right.
here, and
right.
I shouldn't be going into saying some of these things. Well, this guy, Todd, sees this as evidence that someone else is in control of Biden, and that Biden is sort of trying to escape by saying things like, well, I really shouldn't be talking about that, because, like, someone told me not to say it. It's sort
That's
of
not how I see
territorial.
It. That's not how I see it. He has that tick, and my interpretation of the tick, the tick where Biden says, I shouldn't say this, and then he offers you something, I to me, interpret that as an old sort of Paul device where, you know, you're my buddy, I'm giving you something now. It's no different for me than I'll give you my word as a Biden. Or what are some of the others that he has? Because he's got a whole stable of these sort of things that he rolls out. I don't believe that he's programmed and now he's stepping out from his handlers.
I agree with you. But what's interesting to me is how this is being misinterpreted by someone who voted for him. And,
mm-hmm.
and how so many things that are sort of offhanded that we would never give a second thought to, for some people are actually evidence of a larger trend that is very suspicious.
Yeah, the other one is for real. Like when he gets a reaction from the audience that's favorable, his comeback is to say, no, for real. And if you think about it logically, for real doesn't make any sense in the audience just having agreed with him on something. Where did I see this? I think Don Lemon had a town hall with President Biden recently, and it was in Don's town hall that I noted all three of these. You know, my word is a Biden, for real, and I shouldn't say this. But I find it really interesting. Here's the question, I guess, Rich Tao, that I have for you, and I will have for the callers as well, because I think you're really on to something. Is it that Donald Trump is out of the limelight? He's, you know, he has faded from being center stage, and therefore all the attention gets put on Biden, and there's not that comparison? Or is it that Trump has waning influence? That Trump wishes he were still front and center. It's just that people aren't paying attention to him anymore.
Well, the thing that's interesting among this crowd, for example, is I ask them also every month, and I asked last week, how often do you think about Donald Trump? And about half
yeah.
of these people think about him at least multiple times a week. So he's
yeah.
still at least on some of their minds some of the time. Not as president as he was when he was president, but certainly he's still there. I also asked them about his impact on their voting next year in the midterms. And I said, basically, Trump will make these endorsements. How is this going to affect your vote one way or the other? 10 of them said it wouldn't have any impact one way or the other. 2 said whoever he endorses, they would vote against. And 1 said whoever he endorsed, they would vote for. But the thing that they also told me was that they still think, most of them think that Trump is still calling the shots in the Republican Party. And all but one of them think he will run for president again in 2024.
Don't know. I just don't. I don't have a feel. I think that the reason he will run is because it gives him leverage against a lot of people, investigators included, who are nipping at his heels. Okay, here's my takeaway from Rich Tao at Engages and your latest focus group. It is the best thing for Biden would be the reemergence of Trump, so as to again present that split screen and force a choice in people's minds. Well, what do you think in comparison to this guy, as opposed to what do you think of the job he's doing?
I would agree with you, but I would say mostly at the margins, because Trump, unless he does something completely outlandish outside of office and starts saying things that are new and different, is basically now being the same old drum over and over again. So
yeah, no new tricks.
Sort of outlandish presidential type news.
No new tricks.
Still now
yeah.
running a government, and I think that comparison, while it does help Biden, it's of marginal value at best.
Mm-hmm. I mean, look, I said when it was happening, this is not to diminish Joe Biden, but I believe that Donald Trump lost that election more than Joe Biden won it. I mean, my God, Biden was locked up in Wilmington when he would speak to the media. There were those circles painted on the gymnasium floor. Trump is out there at rallies. And but for his mishandling of COVID, he would have won. But for his mishandling of COVID, Donald Trump would have won that election. So it was really Trump against Trump more than it was Trump against Biden. And everything that you've just told me kind of confirms what I was thinking at the time. Sum up, what does Rich Tao most want us to know about your most recent swing voter focus group?
Well, other than what I just shared, let me give you two other quick things. One is we asked extensively about climate change and the UN report, which had come out the day before. Out of 13 people in the session, only three of them had heard that it had even been released. So that story is not getting as far as you'd think it should be. One might think it would be given the prominence of it. And the other thing I thought was fascinating.
Okay, but Rich, can I interrupt you?
Yeah,
my
sure.
my answer to that is you are dealing, you say this to me all the time, you are dealing with low information voters. I'm not impugning their intelligence, but they're much more knowledgeable about stories I would know nothing about. Their focus is elsewhere.
Well, let me share a little bit of a difference, Michael, between the Obama to Trump voters we had before the election, these Trump to Biden voters that we have now. The ones I have now seem to be a lot more focused on national news. More of them now tell me that they watch CNN and Fox and MSNBC than I heard before the election. Fewer of them are telling me, although there are still some, that they get their news exclusively from local news sources. So they tend to be, on balance, somewhat better informed. The thing is that their level of knowledge about policy and about what's going on in D.C. is very, very modest. And so, for example, all of them knew that a building collapsed in Surfside when I asked about it in July. Only two of them last month knew that there was an infrastructure bill winding its way through Congress.
Jesus.
So, yeah. So they're getting sort of the big flashy news, the disaster news, but they're not getting a lot of the policy news. And that's what the discrepancy is I'm seeing now over and over again. So the climate stuff sort of fits that bill, where only three of them had heard the news about the UN report. Only three of them knew that what plans Biden had for climate. None of them knew what the GOP would do on climate. Nine had heard of the Green New Deal. Only two of them could tell me what was in it or what it was about. So there's a lot of very limited information on climate.
That doesn't shock me.
Which I thought was fascinating.
Yeah. Scary stuff, but doesn't shock me. Rich Tao, that was excellent. When's your next one? Next weeks?
One is September 14th, second Tuesday of each month we're doing these.
Okay. Look forward to having you back then to talk more about American swing voters. Thank you, Rich.
Thanks, Michael.
A lot of good information there. Hope you'll be game for a political conversation, but let's do that now. Let's talk Biden politically. Sure, we can talk.